خطيئاتي وأسألك العلا من الجنة. اللهم إني أسألك موجبات رحمتك وعزائم مغفرتك والسلامة من كل إثم والغنيمة من كل بر والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا بها جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. ومتعنا بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا. اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة إلا قضيتها يا أرحم الراحمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. وصل اللهم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين.
الرحمن الرحيم الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهيمن العزيز الجبار المتكبر الخالق البارئ المصور الغفار القهار الوهاب الرزاق الفتاح العليم القابض الباسق الخافض الغافر المعز المضل السميع البصير الحكم العدل اللطيف القدير الحليم العظيم الغفور الشكور العلي الكبير الحفيظ المقيت الحفيظ الجليل الكريم الرقيب المجيب الواسع الحكيم الودود المجيد الباعث الشهيد الحق الوكيل القوي المهدي الوالد الحفيد المحيي المهدي المعيد المحيي المميت الحي القيوم الواجد الماجد الواحد الصمد القادر المقتدر المقدم المؤخر الأول الآخر الظاهر الباقي الوالي المتعالي البر التواب المنتقم العفو الرؤوف مالك الملك ذو الجلال والإكرام المبسط الجامع الغني المغني المانع الضار النافع النور الهادي البديع الباقي الوارث الرشيد الصبور
اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم بلغ العلا كشف الدجى بجماله حسن الجميع خصاله صلوا عليه وآله صلوا عليه وآله
اشرح قلبي بالإيمان وأنر دربي يا رحمن
اشرح قلبي بالإيمان وأنر دربي يا رحمن
ربي إنك أنت الهادي في كل زمان ومكان
ربي إنك أنت الهادي في كل زمان ومكان
إيماني بك سر وجودي عند قيامي عند قعودي
إيماني بك سر وجودي عند قيامي عند قعودي
أو بصيامي لك وسجودي يا مبدع خلق الإنسان
أو بصيامي لك وسجودي يا مبدع خلق الإنسان
اشرح قلبي بالإيمان وأنر دربي يا رحمن
اشرح قلبي بالإيمان وأنر دربي يا رحمن
ربي إنك أنت الهادي في كل زمان ومكان
ربي إنك أنت الهادي في كل زمان ومكان
كيف يسير الكون الشاسع كيف ينير القمر الطالع
كيف يسير الكون الشاسع كيف ينير القمر الطالع
كيف يطير الطير الوادع لولا فضلك يا منان
كيف يطير الطير الوادع لولا فضلك يا منان
اشرح قلبي بالإيمان وأنر دربي يا رحمن
اشرح قلبي بالإيمان وأنر دربي يا رحمن
ربي إنك أنت الهادي في كل زمان ومكان
ربي إنك أنت الهادي في كل زمان ومكان
أنت البارئ أنت القاهر أنت الباسط أنت القادر
أنت البارئ أنت القاهر أنت الباسط أنت القادر
أنت الواهب أنت الناصر ارحمنا يا ذا الإحسان
أنت الواهب أنت الناصر ارحمنا يا ذا الإحسان
اشرح قلبي بالإيمان وأنر دربي يا رحمن
اشرح قلبي بالإيمان وأنر دربي يا رحمن
ربي إنك أنت الهادي في كل زمان ومكان
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 أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله سبحان الله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الحمد لله الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين آمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته How is everyone? I hope everyone's doing well, inshallah. Okay, alhamdulillah. Right. So I hope everyone's fast is going good today, inshallah. We're done half the Ramadan, inshallah. I'm good too, alhamdulillah. So we only have less than half Ramadan left so that we could do lots of good deeds and earn a lot of reward because we don't know if we're going to be here next time, right, inshallah? So this time, we do our best and we do the good deeds. We have to do lots of good deeds. There are a lot of opportunities during this month, right, inshallah? All right. Okay, so let's get started with our session today, inshallah. Is everyone ready and excited for today's class? Let's see what we have today to learn, inshallah. So remember, from every class, we take a lesson. And even if you take one thing home and you act upon it, then that's better for you, inshallah. All right, so let's begin with our hifz. We have today ayah number 31 to 36. And I hope everyone is trying to keep up with the memorization, inshallah. Okay, so I hope everyone's ready to begin. Let's start, and you can have your Quran open with you so that you can follow along with me. And it will be easier for you to read after me when you have the Quran open, inshallah. All right, so let's begin. All right, so ayah number 31 till 36. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها والجبال أرساها والجبال أرساها والجبال أرساها والجبال أرساها متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى يوم يتذكر الإنسان ما سعى 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 وبرزت الجحيم لمن يرى وبرزت الجحيم لمن يرى وبرزت الجحيم لمن يرى وبرزت الجحيم لمن يرى
Alright, so now what I'll do is I will recite
the ayah once, and I'll tell the translation. And when I recite the ayah, then you can repeat after me. Inshallah. أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها From it he brought out its water and its meadows والجبال أرساها And firmly fixed the mountains متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم All this as a benefit to you and your cattle. فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى So when the greatest damage will take place, يوم يتذكر الإنسان ما سعى On the day when man will recall what he did وبرزت الجحيم لمن يرى And the hell will be exposed for all who see. Alright. So now what I'm going to do is I am going to recite these ayahs and you can recite with me, inshallah. We'll start from the beginning. Just as a recap, so everything will connect together. And that way when you recite the ayahs from the beginning, you'll remember what's the next part. والنازعات غرقا والناشطات نشطا والسابحات سبحا فالسابقات سبقا فالمدبرات أمرا يوم ترجف الراجفة تتبعها الرادفة قلوب يومئذ واجفة Okay, so I'll give you some time after I recite the ayah if you're finding it hard to follow along with me. أبصارها خاشعة يقولون أئنا لمردودون في الحافرة أئذا كنا عظاما نخرة قالوا تلك إذا كرة خاسرة فإنما هي زجرة واحدة فإذا هم بالساهرة هل أتاك حديث موسى إذ ناداه ربه بالوادي المقدس طوى اذهب إلى فرعون إنه طغى فقل هل لك إلى أن تزكى وأهديك إلى ربك فتخشى فأراه الآية الكبرى فكذب وعصى ثم أدبر يسعى فحشر فنادى فقال أنا ربكم الأعلى فأخذه الله نكال الآخرة والأولى إن في ذلك لعبرة لمن يخشى أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء بناها رفع سمكها فسواها وأغطش ليلها وأخرج دحاها والأرض بعد ذلك دحاها أخرج منها ماءها ومرعاها والجبال أرساها متاعا لكم ولأنعامكم فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى يوم يتذكر الإنسان ما سعى وبرزت الجحيم لمن يرى Alright, so this is where our lesson was till today, and inshallah, your homework is to memorize these ayahs, and always remember to read the surah from the beginning again, because we read parts, like we memorize parts per day, so like we did from ayah number 31 to 36. So to connect them all together, you need to read the whole surah again, or at least like the previous ayahs, so everything will connect together, and at the end, you have surah Naziat completed, inshallah. So, I hope that this will be beneficial for you. And let's go to our next session, and that is learning about the companions. So, let's see what we have from there, inshallah. Right? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. My dear friends, today, we will be learning a wonderful companion of our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is Salman al-Farisi. Does this name sound familiar to any of you? If not, then today you will be learning about him. So let's get started. Salman al-Farisi. This is a story of the seeker of truth, the story of Salman the Persian. To begin with, let us hear the story from his own words. I grew up in the town of Isfahan in Persia, in the village of Jayan. My father was the Dehqan, or chief, of the village. He was the richest person there and had the biggest house. Since I was a child, my father loved me more than he loved any other. As time went by, his love for me became so strong and overpowering that he feared to lose me or have anything happen to me. So he kept me at home, a virtual prisoner, in the same way that young girls were kept. I became devoted to the Magian religion so much that I attained the position of custodian of the fire which we worshipped. My duty was to see the flames of the fire remain burning, and that it did not go out for a single hour, day or night. My father had a vast estate, which yielded an abundant supply of crops. He himself looked after the estate and the harvest. One day he was very busy with his duties as the Khan in the village, and he said to me, "My son, as you see, I am too busy to go out to the estate now. Go and look after matters there for me today." On my way to the estate, I passed a Christian church, and the voices of prayer attracted my attention. I did not know anything about Christianity or about the followers of any other religion throughout the time my father kept me in the house, away from people. When I heard the voices of the Christians, I entered the church to see what they were doing. I was impressed by their manner of praying and felt drawn to their religion. "By God," I said, "this is better than ours. I shall not leave them until the sun sets." I asked Mosul, the Christian religion originated in Asham, Greater Syria. I did not go to my father's estate that day and at night. I returned home. My father met me and asked what I had done. I told him about my meeting with the Christians and how I was impressed by their religion. He was dismayed and said, "My son, there's nothing good in that religion. Your religion and the religion of their forefathers is better." "No, their religion is better than ours," I insisted. My father became quite upset and afraid that I would leave our religion. So he kept me locked up in the house and put a chain on my feet. I managed, however, to send a message to the Christians, asking them to inform me of any caravan going to Syria. Before long, they got in touch with me and told me that a caravan was headed for Syria. I managed to unfetter myself and in disguise accompany the caravan to Syria. There, I asked who was the leading person in the Christian religion and was directed to the bishop of the church. I went to him and said, "I want to become a Christian and would like to attach myself to your service, learn from you, and pray with you." The bishop agreed, and I entered the church in a service. I soon found out that the man was corrupt. He would order his followers to give monies in chanti while holding out the promised lesson to them. When they gave anything to spend in the way of God, however, he would hoard for himself and would not give anything to the poor or needy. In this way, he amassed a vast quantity of gold. When the bishop died and the Christians gathered to bury him, I told them of his corrupt practices and at their request showed them where he kept their donations. When they saw the large jars filled with gold and silver, they said, "By God, we shall not bury him." They nailed him on a cross and threw stones at him. I continued in the service of the person who replaced him. The new bishop was an ascetic who longed for the hereafter and engaged in worship day and night. I was greatly devoted to him and spent a long time in his company. After his death, Salman attached himself to various Christian religious figures in Mosul, Libya, and elsewhere. The last one had told him about the appearance of a prophet in the land of the Arabs, who would have a reputation for strict honesty, one who would accept a gift but would never consume charity, sadaqah, for himself. Salman continued the story. A group of Arab leaders from the Kalb tribe passed through Amura, and I asked them to take with them to the land of the Arabs in return for whatever money I had. They agreed, and I paid them. When we reached Wadi al-Qara, a place between Medina and Syria, they broke their agreement and sold me to a Jew. I worked as a servant for him, but eventually he sold me to a nephew of his belonging to the tribe of Banu Qurayza. This nephew took me with him to Yathrib, the city of palm groves, which is how the Christian Amura had described it. At that time, the Prophet was inviting his people in Mecca to Islam, but I did not hear anything about him then because of the harsh duties which slavery imposed upon me. When the Prophet reached Yathrib after his hijrah from Mecca, I was in fact at the top of a palm tree belonging to my master doing some work. My master was sitting under the tree. A nephew of his came up and said, "May God declare war on the Aus and the Khazraj, the two main tribes of Yathrib. By God, they are now gathering at Cuba to meet a man who has today come to Mecca and claims is the prophet." I felt hot flushes as soon as I heard these words, and I began to shiver so violently that I was afraid that I might fall on my master. I quickly got down from the tree and spoke to my master's nephew. "What did you say? Repeat the news for me." My master was very angry and gave me a terrible blow. "What does this matter to you? Go back to what you are doing," he shouted. That evening, I took some dates that I had gathered and went to the place where the prophet had alighted. I went up to him and said, "I've heard that you are a righteous man and that you have companions with you who are strangers and are in need. Here is something for me as sadaqah. I see that you are more deserving of it than others." And the prophet ordered his companions to eat, but he did not eat of it. I gathered some more dates, and when the prophet left Cuba for Medina, I went up to him and said, "I noticed that you did not eat of the sadaqah I gave. This, however, is a gift for you. Of this gift of dates, both he and his companions ate." The strict honesty of the prophet was one of the characteristics led Salman to believe in him and accept Islam. Salman was released from slavery by the Prophet, who paid his Jewish slave owner a stipulated price, and who himself planted an agreed number of date palms to secure his manumission. After accepting Islam, Salman would say when asked whose son he was, "I'm Salman, the son of Islam from the children of Adam." Salman was to play an important role in the struggles of the growing Muslim state. At the Battle of Khandaq, he proved to be an innovator in military strategy. He suggested digging a ditch or Khandaq around Medina to keep the Quraysh army at bay. When Abu Sufyan, the leader of the Meccans, saw the ditch, he said, "This strategy has not been employed by the Arabs before." Salman became known as Salman the Good. He was a scholar who lived a rough, ascetic life. He had one cloak which he wore and on which he slept. He would not seek the shelter of a roof, but stayed under a tree or against a wall. A man once said to him, "Shall I not build you a house in which to live?" "I have no need of a house," he replied. The man persisted and said, "I know the type of house that would suit you." "Describe it to me," said Salman. "I shall build you a house, which if you stand up in it, its roof will hurt your head, and if you stretch your legs, the wall will hurt them." Later, as a governor of Al-Madin, city Sofia, near Baghdad, Salman received a stipend of 5,000 dirhams. That was a lot of money. Then this he would distribute as sadaqah. He lived from the work of his own hand. When some people came to Madian and saw him working in the palm grove, they said, "You are the Amir here, and your sustenance is guaranteed, and you do this work?" "I like to eat from the work of my own hands," he replied. Salman, however, was not extreme in his asceticism. It is related that he once visited Abu al-Darda, with whom the Prophet had joined him in brotherhood. He found Abu al-Darda's wife in miserable state and asked, "What is the matter with you?" "Your brother has no need of anything in this world," she replied. And when Abu Darda came, he welcomed Salman and gave him food. Salman told him to eat, but Abu Darda said, "I am fasting. I swear to you that I shall not eat until you eat so." Salman spent the night there as well. During the night, Abu Darda got up, but Salman got a hold of him and said, "Abu Darda, your lord has a right over you, your family has a right over you, and your body has a right over you. Give to each its due." In the morning, they prayed together and then went out to meet the Prophet, peace be upon him. The Prophet supported Salman in what he had said. As a scholar, Salman was noted for his vast knowledge and wisdom. Ali said of him that he was like Luqman the wise. And Ka'b al-Ahbar said, "Salman is stuffed with knowledge and wisdom, none notion that cannot dry up." Salman had a knowledge of both the Christian scriptures and the Quran in addition to his earlier knowledge of the Zoroastrian religion. Salman, in fact, translated parts of the Quran into Persian during the lifetime of the Prophet. He was thus the first person to translate the Quran into a foreign language. Salman, because of the influential household in which he grew up, might easily have been a major figure in the sprawling Persian empire of his time. His search for truth, however, led him, even before the Prophet had appeared, to renounce a comfortable and affluent life, and even to suffer the indignities of slavery. According to the most reliable account, he died in the year 35 after the Hijrah, during the caliphate of Uthman at Sadisfion. This is a story of another one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this companion traveled a long way just to become a Muslim and to meet the Prophet. I hope you like the story and share it with your friends. See you next class. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alright, so that was a nice story, mashallah. And I hope everybody learned one lesson from it at least. Okay. Alright. So our next session is for our good deed session. And let's see what we have from there. And then inshallah we'll move on. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير امين يا رب العالمين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Dear friends, I hope each one of you is in a state of good health and iman and of course excited to learn something new today. Before we proceed, I would like to request every one of you to pay full attention and take down notes. Because when you do so, you'll be more focused and inshallah, you can even review it later on. So the topic for today is, Allah is near. There is a wonderful verse in the Quran which has inspired me to choose this topic for the day. And that verse is from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 186. Basically, the Sahaba Karam, the people around Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to ask Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, concerning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing that concern in this ayah. He is saying, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانْ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ Translation goes this way. And when my servants ask you, that is, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning me, indeed I am near. I respond to the invocation of the supplicant when he calls upon me. So let them respond to me, that is, by obedience, and believe in me that they may be rightly guided. Subhanallah, what a wonderful verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when my servants ask you concerning me, I am near. Allah is near. He responds to the invocation of the supplicant when he calls upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have you ever pondered over the fact that how many times we have prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, and He has given us that straight away, right away. And some things are such that we have not even asked Allah for that, yet Allah has granted us. How beautiful is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How amazing is His power? And the interesting part is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never gets tired of bestowing His blessings upon us. He never gets bored with us keeping on asking Him and supplicating to Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ghafir, ayah number 60, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ دُعُونِي أَسْتَجِبُ لَكُمْ And your Lord says, call upon me, I will respond to you. How amazing, what a wonderful statement Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, which is filled with so much of love and concern for His slaves. Allahu Akbar. There is absolutely no example for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but just to understand, let us take this example of a kid asking his dad to buy him an ice cream or asking his mom to make his favorite dish or whatever it may be, asking his friend to lend him a book or give him a ride, whatever. People around us, when we keep on asking them something, they get tired of us, bored. The moment they see us, they feel as if we're going to ask them something, and then they try to hide themselves from us. And another example is of a poor person and a rich person. For example, the poor person keeps on asking the same person who has previously given him some charity or such, and this person keeps on asking him each time, each month, each week for something more. What do you think will happen? Of course, that person who has been giving him charity would get vexed up. He would get angry at the poor person, right? This is the case of human beings, insignificant human beings who hold nothing. Even if we are able to give someone something, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it to us. Had Allah not given us that status, that wealth, that property, we would not be able to even give a penny to someone else. Imagine, it is Allah who has given us everything, and yet to give it to His creation, a portion of something what Allah has given us, we feel it to be so hard. We become stingy. And if we have a look at ourselves, who are we? We are just insignificant human beings. But imagine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator, the Lord of all the worlds, the incomparably great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never gets tired when we ask of Him. He never gets angry. He never gets exhausted listening to us. Imagine the greatest, the Lord of all the worlds. He is giving importance to insignificant beings like us, to each one of us. He is responding to our calls. He's listening to us. What an honor Allah has blessed us with. How honorable it is to be a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best part is Allah is always available for you. Always. You can call upon Him in the mid of the day, mid of the night, while lying down, while standing up, while walking, while working, and even when you don't move your lips to ask Him, He knows your heart wants something. Deep down into your hearts, inside your hearts, there is something that you wish for, that you want. He knows everything, each bit of it. And just an example of a king or a president or a minister, if one of these people in the world who hold a good position, a higher status, they give you an appointment to meet them, how happy people would be to get the appointment of the mere insignificant human being who holds no much significance near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but just the worldly position or status that he has got is what people get impressed with, right? So ideally what happens is the common public, the common people are not supposed to or are not permitted to meet the king or the president in person, right? Because he is not a common man, is what people think, right? And hence when one of them gets to meet the king or the president in person, they feel so privileged because of having that honor which not all others have got. Having understood this small example, now let us try to understand as to what status this worldly person holds near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People might take this person, this king, in high esteem. They might think he is very busy, he is a wealthy man, he is of a high position and status. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no example. He is the most busy. He takes care of the entire universe and all what exists. We not even can comprehend what all exists. We don't even know. We just know of this world and some of the galaxies and the solar system, the sun and stars, but we don't know what's beyond that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of everything that exists. He is so busy. He is the incomparably great. He is our creator. He has created us and whatever exists in this world that we know or we don't know of. He has got the treasures of everything. He is the most powerful, the able, the capable, the omnipotent, Al-Qadir, Al-Muqtadir, the one with the perfect power, that nothing is withheld from Him. He is Allah, who has so many things to do. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives time to each one of us. He listens to us. He responds to us. And He gives us His attention when we call upon Him. Imagine His great power. And imagine His intense mercy that He is showing to us by giving us time. He is always available for us. When you call upon Him, when you connect to Him, the line is never busy. It's never too late or too early. Allah is always available for us. Can you imagine that? The Lord of all the worlds giving you and me the honor to connect to Him directly without any mediator. Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse, أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. Ujibu da'wat ad-da'i idha da'an.
I respond to the invocation of the supplicant when he calls upon me. Subhanallah. Have you ever thought about it ever before? In this manner, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us such a big privilege and honor to connect to Him. And not just call upon Him, but also He'll respond to us. It's not a one-way call. It is a two-way interaction. Subhanallah. Allah is Al-Mujib. Al-Mujib is the one who answers prayers and responds to requests of those who ask and the call of those who call upon Him by helping them according to His wisdom in dealing with their affairs. Al-Mujib will often give you more than what you ask for because He'll respond to you with what you need and what is best for you. Al-Mujib, the one who responds, the answerer of prayers, He is the one who responds to needs, answers prayers, and He is the one who penetrates each obstacle in order to respond. Subhanallah. He is not tired. He is not tired of responding to our calls and bestowing us with His innumerable blessings. And Allah is a Samir, the one who hears all sounds and voices in all of their different languages and all their many and various needs. He is the all-hearing, the ever-listening. He is the one whose hearing and attention comprehends everything. As-Sami' hears every word, thought and secret. And He listens to every voice. He, As-Sami', listens and pays attention to everything perfectly, eternally, and without any limits. Allahu Akbar. What else do we need? We have Allah. That means you have everything that you need. Just to take an example, do we pay attention to the ants or insects even tinier than that when we come across them? Of course not. We don't pay any attention to them. But we are even tinier than the ants or even the smallest of the dots in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are so insignificant. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes care of us. He pays attention to us. He pays attention not only to our needs but also our comforts and luxuries. He is the most merciful. He is Al-Wahhab, the bestower, Ar-Razaq, the provider, who takes care of everything that we need. Imagine how much do we owe to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can we be unmindful of Allah and be busy in our lives? How can we make dua and then after our dua being fulfilled, how can we forget Him? Subhanallah, that is a point to ponder for today. After taking the blessings, how can we forget the one who has blessed us with that? And you know how beautiful a connection between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you is with the dua, the supplications that you make. And dua is something not to be read out. Okay? It is something to be asked. It is something to understand and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many of us have read so many du'as until today. But how much do we understand what we ask is what we need to look for. So make an intention from today that inshallah we'll not read out the du'as but we'll instead ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for them. We'll understand what we are asking. And moreover, there's another important component involved in making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is of tawakkul. That is of trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are asking Allah for something, put in your complete trust. Firmly trust that Allah will grant you that. He is the all-able. He is the all-powerful and He will grant you that. Have this trust. Okay? Because when you make a dua and you feel, oh, Allah might answer, Allah might not answer, that does not make good sense. That is not good to do. You ask Allah, put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be satisfied that inshallah, Allah will give you the best.
Another point is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times, in happy days, in sad times, every time. Because when you just turn to Allah in sad times and you forget Him, when He makes you happy, can you imagine how bad is that? How unfair is that on your part, on my part, if we do so? So what we need to do is establish a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, 24/7. Not just when we need our wishes to be granted or our needs to be fulfilled or when we are sad and in sorrow, okay? We need to have a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. In good times, be thankful, be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and keep praying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you, to protect you from the bad times and from being immersed into the blessings and forgetting Allah. And when you are in sad times, in bad times, pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate your sorrows. And never underestimate the power of dua. And connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua secretly, especially in the hours of night, in the dark hours of night when everyone is sleeping. And you are speaking to your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially the time before Fajr, you said that the Hajjat time, that time, in the dark hours. And lastly, when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't just ask Him for this dunya, for this world and all what this world holds. Ask Him for the akhirah as well. There's a beautiful dua in the Quran which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taught us, and it goes this way. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. This dua is in Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 201. Our Lord, give us in this world that which is good, and in the hereafter that which is good, and protect us from the punishment of fire. I hope most of you know this dua by heart, but if any of you does not know, then you can memorize this dua. So the take home message today will be to ponder over this. So the take home message for today would be, never forget the one who has given you blessings. After receiving the blessings, never forget the one who has bestowed you with them. So the take-home message on which you will constantly ponder over, and also keeping in mind the way you behave when Allah grants you something, and that is never to forget Allah after receiving His blessings. Please do check the website nurulquranskids.com for a wonderful article posted on dua. And along with that, there are some downloadable dua cards that you can inshallah benefit from. Jazakumullahu khairan kathira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Right, so alhamdulillah, we learned a lot from this session, right? We learned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is near to us. And we can ask anything from Him at any time, right? And you know how in this world, when there is someone who is very famous or something, you can't even imagine calling that person or asking him something, right? But in the with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right, you can ask Him for anything at any time, right? He's always there for us. So we should also spend time in our day and you'll remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray, inshallah. Okay? So the five daily prayers we have, let's spend at least few minutes and pray those prayers. And then inshallah we'll move on with our day. So that will really benefit us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always there for us whenever we need Him. Okay, so our next session is our story time, inshallah. So I hope everybody's ready for a story time. And let's see what we have for our story today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, the one and only. Every morning after Fajr, three little boys have Quran class at the masjid. Today they are reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد، ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
I seek refuge in Allah from the cursed shaitan. I begin in the name of Allah.
قل هو الله أحد.
Say, He is Allah, the One.
الله الصمد.
Allah, the external refuge.
لم يلد ولم يولد.
He neither begets nor is born.
ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
Nor is there to him any equivalent. Where did you get that yummy sandwich from Abu al-Hakim?
My ummi gave it to me. My ummi is the best.
My ummi gave me this sandwich, and it's bigger than yours. My ummi is the best.
Boys, concentrate! No food in class! Carry on reading! Said Uncle Salam.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد، ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
Look at the sandwich my ummi gave me. This is bigger than both of yours. My ummi is the best.
Subhanallah!
This is the biggest chicken salad sandwich I've ever seen in my life.
Boys! I told you, no food in class and no talking. Where did you get those sandwiches from?
We got it from home. Our moms made them for us, Uncle Salam.
Said the boys while hiding the sandwiches behind their backs. Tell me then, who loves you the most at home?
My ummi,
shouted all of them together. She makes the best and most favorite foods for us, each and every single day, even when she's tired.
She washes and folds my clothes all the time and makes sure I always have something clean to wear.
My mom always helps me with my homework and makes sure I am successful in everything I do.
No one loves us more than our mother,
shouted all of them together.
Well, did you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you more than your mother?
If Allah loves us so much, are we God's children?
Does Allah have a mommy and a daddy just like us on the Islam?
قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ. Say, He is Allah the One.
Oh, I get it.
اللَّهُ الصَّمَدٍ. Allah the Eternal Refuge.
Now I understand. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدٍ.
He neither begets nor is born.
That's right. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. Nor is there to him any equivalent. So we are not the children of Allah, but we are his creation.
How does Allah look like Uncle Salam? Does he look like the sun?
وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And there's nothing comparable to him.
Is he similar looking to the moon then? I mean, there must be an example we can use to imagine how he might look like. Maybe like the moon?
وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And there's nothing comparable to him.
Is Allah like a human then? He created us in his image after all. So he must be something similar to us.
وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ.
And nothing, and I mean nothing, can be compared to him.
All of those things are the creation of Allah, Abdus Salim. How can Allah be comparable to His creation? Do you only make things that look like you? We draw, color, and make things that are very different from us, all the time. Remember the sandwich your mom made? The sandwich doesn't look like your mom, right? Remember this very carefully. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not like anything you know, you've seen, or heard. And He tells us that we can't compare Him to anything at all. He is subhanahu wa ta'ala, is unique, beyond our imagination. Who was before Allah?
Can you please raise your fingers and count backwards?
خمسة أربعة ثلاثة اثنين واحد.
What comes before واحد, dear child?
Nothing. Oh, I get it. Nothing is before one. Nothing was before Allah. The Ahad. قل هو الله أحد.
Ma sha Allah, Abdul Karim, you are right. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything and nothing created Him. He was, is, and always will be the Lord of all that exists.
I have a question though. We listen and Allah listens. He is As-Sami'a. We see and Allah sees. He is Al-Basir. We witness many things, and Allah witnesses everything. He is As-Shahid. So, isn't He kind of similar to us?
وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ.
And there's nothing comparable to Him, my dear friend. His seeing, His listening, His witnessing is very different than our seeing, listening, and witnessing. He is unique in each and every one of His qualities. We cannot compare anything to Him, and we cannot compare any of human qualities to any of His qualities. How can you compare the qualities of the creation to the Creator? Isn't it true, Uncle Salam?
Allahu Akbar, Masha Allah, Abdul Hakim. I am so proud of you. I would like to present this special badge to you. Uncle Salam gave Abdul Hakim a badge with the word Al-Ahad written on it. He was proud of all of the boys for their understanding about Allah's wonderful name Al-Ahad.
Jazakallahu khairan for a wonderful badge. I love Allah's name Al-Ahad.
The boys carried on reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas until it was time to go home.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
سبحان الله. It's so wonderful to recite the Quran when we actually understand what it means. I love the name Al-Ahad so much. It tells us how unique Allah is.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
قل هو الله أحد. Say, He is Allah, who is one.
الله الصمد.
Allah, the eternal refuge.
لم يلد ولم يولد.
He neither begets nor is born.
ولم يكن له كفوا أحد.
Nor is there to Him any equivalent.
At the end of the class, all the boys ate their sandwiches. When Abdul Hakim reached home, Mom was telling the story of Prophet Ibrahim to his younger sister, Hafsa. Hafsa was listening quietly. Abdul Hakim silently sat next to them without disturbing.
So, dear Hafsa,
When the moon disappeared at night, Prophet Ibrahim said, "How can the moon be my Lord? It disappears." Next morning when the sun came up, Prophet Ibrahim wondered, "Is the sun my Lord?" But then the evening came. He said, "The sun has set. How can I worship the sun when it disappears?" So then Prophet Ibrahim said,
إني وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض حنيفا وما أنا من المشركين.
Indeed, I turned my face to the one who created the heavens and the earth. I am a Hanif, worshipping one God, and I am not one of those who associate partners with Allah. And that is how, dear Hafsa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided Prophet Ibrahim to Tawheed.
Soon, Abdul Hakim added,
MashaAllah, this is a wonderful story. So while observing the universe, the Prophet Ibrahim realized the name of Allah, Al-Ahad, the One. He realized that Allah is the One, the unique One. There is nothing like Him.
وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ
Isn't it, Ummi?
Ummi replied,
MashaAllah, Abdul Hakim. That is correct. What a beautiful badge you got from Quran class. Can you show it to your sister?
Abdul Hakim showed the badge to his sister and said,
Sure. Hafsa, Al-Ahad is one of the names of Allah. It means the one, the unique one, the one that cannot be compared to anyone. Al-Ahad. Al-Ahad. You say it now. Al-Ahad. Allah is Al-Ahad, the one and only Lord of all that exists.
The end.
Assalamu alaikum. So we learned that Allah is only one, and we worship only Him, and there is nothing at all that can compare to Him. So we just need to know that Allah is there, and there's nothing like Him, and we have to worship only Him. And that's all we have for today. So we're going to end class over here. That's it. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
La 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 la.
طعم الدنيا تغير فرحة قلبي بتكبر وبطلتك بتغير ما أحلك يا رمضان.
أنا دايما بستنى على قلبي ما أغلى يا رب بلغنا طول ريحة طلة رمضان.
رمضان ده حياتي شمعة لمماتي يا رب دعاتي تقبلها عطول. رمضان ده رحمة من ربنا نعمة بيحل حياتنا ويفرشها ورود.
رمضان ده حياتي حلى أوقاتي يا رب صلاتي تقبلها عطول. ما أحلى حجابي جمل أوقاتي وزي صحباتي عايزين عطول.
رمضان بحياتي شمع لمماتي يا رب دعاتي تقبل عطول. رمضان ده رحمة من ربنا نعمة بيحل حياتنا ويفرش نورنا.